Welcome to The Educated Investor, brought to you by the Householder Group Estate and Retirement Planning. At Cishon Financial, Regional Vice President David Cishon takes a proactive approach to helping you develop a strategy to address your financial goals and objectives using the most efficient methods available. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley and David Cishon.
And we would like to welcome you to The Educated Investor. As mentioned, my name is Scott Whatley, and we are glad you are starting your week off with us. And it's always good to have David Cishon with us. David, how are you, sir?
Good afternoon. Or is it good morning? No, I guess it's afternoon, Scott.
We're barely in there. Yes, sir. Absolutely. How
nice
was your weekend?
Well, you know, it was kind of busy and active, and of course, the rain was great to have.
Yes, sir. Man, I tell you, we got it, too.
Yeah, we did. It's amazing.
It really...
We go from being no rain to pounded.
I know. It sure is, for sure. And I tell you, today we're going to be continuing our conversation from last week. We were just talking about IRAs, and David went through a lot of different strategies there. And David, just real quick, and I know I started off last week's show with this too, but I'm telling you, it's just this job market. I just got to mention real quick, I just walked in a place this morning just to drop our dog off for a little bit, and they couldn't do it because they said three people called in, you know, not sick, didn't even call in. I mean, when I say called in, they didn't even call in. I mean, people are just not working.
Yeah, they're not even showing up in some places. I've got clients that they could hire 100 people right now. They can't find one that wants to work. And it's amazing. And, you know, part of it could be because a lot of these folks dropped out of the labor market during this pandemic and decided not to go back.
Mm-hmm.
That's one problem that we have. The other problem, of course, they're all getting paid maybe more than they should for staying at home. But that's going to end sooner or later, and we'll see what transpires with filling a lot of these jobs.
Yeah.
Because it is really taxing these small employers.
Sure.
Because just think of the owners. He can't work 24/7 himself.
No.
You know, especially running a restaurant or whatever the case might be.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I was in Scottsdale couple of days ago, just for a day and a half, and we went to a restaurant for lunch, and the amount of time it took to order, they apologized even when we walked in. It might be longer than normal because we only have so many workers.
Yeah,
it's just amazing.
No,
yeah,
it's just crazy.
Crazy.
Well, we want to help you get a better understanding of IRAs. And David, I always like when you talk about non-taxable things with any of this.
I know.
Taxes play a big part in this whole retirement plan, don't they?
Well, they play a huge part in the retirement plan. And especially when it comes to potential income taxes and income taxes in the future. You know, we are in the lowest income tax bracket structure in the last 40 years, and we are putting tremendous amounts of monies into the economy to help people survive, which is good, and perhaps now doing some tremendous amounts of dollars into the infrastructure of our country, which has been sorely lacking for decades. And sooner or later, they're going to knock on our door and say, you got to pay it back somehow, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking very heavily at the IRA market and the Roth IRA. And so we want to talk a little bit about what perhaps we could do as we move forward. But I thought this might be of interest to some of the folks to give you a taste of what's on the drawing board for tax proposals to help pay all of these monies back that are being expended into the economy.
Right.
Now, I'm just going to give you a few of these. It'll take a minute. But some of these your listeners probably already know. One is to raise the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. They want to increase the top marginal income tax bracket to 39.6 for folks over 400,000 of income. Now, that may sound good, but you'll see something in a minute that takes away all of that wonderful future thoughts. And then, of course, tax capital gains at the top ordinary income tax bracket for people that have more than $1 million of income. And they also want to subject wages in excess of $400,000 to Social Security payroll tax. So they're trying to recover these monies in different ways. There's also, they want to reduce the federal estate tax. You know, we get, if we die, when we die, if we have less than $11.7 million as an individual, 23.4 as a married couple, they want to reduce that down to $3.5 million and stop indexing it for inflation, which would force a tremendous amount of households, more households, to pay this tax. Now, the tax rate they want to increase, which is currently 40%, to 45 to 65%.
Wow.
And they want to limit, when you give a gift to somebody, they want to limit the amount to a maximum of $1 million in total. There's a number of others, and they want to make this effective 1/1/2022. And then I'll end up finally with just a few, because this is one that really bothers the heck out of me and many of my clients. And basically what it says is that if you transfer upon your death any assets to your children, let's say, or spouse, then there is no tax. You get a step up in basis. So let's say you bought a house for $100,000, and then a bunch of years later it's worth $500,000, and you die, and you want to give it to, let's say, your children. You give it to your children, they get a step up in basis under current law, so that $100,000 of cost basis that you spent gets a step up to the current market value, and say it's $500,000. So they could turn around the next day, they could sell it for $500,000, and there's no income tax due on that appreciation. And that is an important thing for consideration, because in this country, we have principally three sources of wealth for the average person, and that is like retirement accounts, their house or home, and cash value life insurance. Well, we may not get, as the government says, has been saying, for people under $400,000, we're not going to raise their taxes. But look at this. Think about this. Most people in this country that own a house transfer it to their kids or so forth, get a step up in basis. Now what they're proposing is that when you die, and you spent $100,000, now worth $500,000. They want you to pay long-term capital gains on that $400,000, and then the kids can sell it for the $500,000 or plus, and they'll just pay capital gains if it's over $500,000, or short-term if it's really quick. But the fact of the matter is no, they didn't raise our income taxes. Mm-hmm. But the majority of families in this this country that own houses, modest houses, not jargondal things, but they're going to have to pay this tax if it's passed, and it affects a tremendous amount of people.
Sure.
And here again, the middle class are going to take it on the chin probably more than most. So these kinds of proposals that are out there, you know, we have to keep an eye on them, and we have to keep looking at them to see if they are going to become law or win. And then we have to maneuver around them the best we can. And that all applies and goes back to your individual retirement accounts. And a lot of people have individual retirement accounts because perhaps they rolled over some of their retirement monies that they had with their prior employer, or they made contributions along the way. But there's a lot of money in individual retirement accounts. And, of course, the government, a couple of years ago, passed the SECURE Act, which is anything but secure.
Right. I started to go, names of some of these don't fit, right?
Yeah. No, they don't. You know, it says here, SECURE is short for Setting Every Community Up Retirement Enhancement Act, the SECURE Act. Well, that's where they robbed us from stealing our money when they said we can no longer have the stretch IRA. And let me explain that for a second, because that's important for people to understand. Historically, if you had an IRA and you die, beneficiaries, any beneficiaries that you name, could really stretch those payments out over their life expectancy. So you wouldn't be forced to have to take it all out at once, pay taxes or anything like that. You could stretch it for a long time and control the taxes and control the income you take for it. Well, the SECURE Act said, nah, we're not going to let you do that anymore. All right, and except for the exception of a spouse and a couple of other exceptions, you have forced to take that money out of the IRA, including a Roth, over a maximum of 10 years. Now, you don't have to take out the money, you know, equally over each year for 10 years or anything like that. You can wait till the end of 10 years and take it all out.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem here is the tax implication of that could be tremendous to participants or beneficiaries receiving that money. You know, you take $1 million IRA, and if it earns 7% over the next 10 years, it's $2 million, and take it all out at once. We don't even know what the rates are going to be, but they're not going to be lower. I'm sure they're going to be higher.
Sure.
It's going to cause a tax problem for a lot of folks. So they're looking for ways of attacking these sources of revenue and income. And the IRA is no exception. It's one of the biggest pools of money that people have for retirement on average. So the government is trying to think of ways to attack that IRA. Just like when they passed the SECURE Act, there was only 3 or 4 congressmen in total, you know, Senate and Congress, the House and the Senate, in total that voted against it. And there was never any publicity, all right? And the reason for that was it was a way, by cutting down the stretch IRA and putting more money in the government's pocket, it was a way for these politicians to say to their constituents, I didn't raise any income taxes at all. No, they didn't. They just forced you to pay it earlier and quicker and sooner so that they get the revenue.
And you know, David, without having someone like yourself that, you know, really looks into all the intricacies of this, you know, and when you're watching the speeches, many people, this is going to be a huge shock to, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. And there are ways around these kinds of things. But when it first comes out, regardless of what it hits or how it hits, it's going to hurt most people. That's why I say to them, you know, come on in for a consultation. We're not going to charge you for it. Let's see where you are, and let's see how the current laws, the SECURE Act, and the proposals that are being proposed affect you, if at all.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you need to do? What are the tools you need to see and see which ones are comfortable to you to use to offset this kind of thing? Because the government is going to go after these sources of wealth that we have, whether it's the residents in limiting how we can pass on these values to our beneficiaries, or whether it's by not giving us the exemptions that we currently have by reducing these exemptions and then incurring federal estate taxes that are even more onerous than income taxes. You know, what do we have to look at, and what do we have to worry about, and then what are the alternatives and solutions? And once people know that, they're pretty acute at deciding, okay, I think this is the best one for me, and why?
Sure.
Or a combination of strategies.
Right.
Yep.
David Cishan is with us, and you're listening to The Educated Investor. They're with the Householder Group. Their number, 720-482-1917. And, David, I think this is where a big mistake as well, where, you know, people may do something with their IRA because that's what their friends did. Mm-hmm. And you've said this before. You can't do what your friends do. You're an individual.
Yeah.
Your plan's individual. So don't do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, what the thinking that got you to where you are today is not going to be the thinking that's going to carry you through tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be aware of these different things. And if we look at the IRAs, you know, it's one of the things that we bring up with clients is, okay, maybe we should look at your IRA, and maybe what we need to do is look at alternatives. How can we reposition your IRAs so that we mitigate the income tax, and later on, when we get money out, it's going to be tax-free forever and ever? All right, tax-free forever and ever is a long ways.
Sure.
All right. Now, unfortunately, the government is going to try to attack it. One of the ways of conversions and converting monies of IRAs is converted to a Roth. And of course, if someone does that, let's say you convert $20,000 this year to a Roth, April 15th of the next year, you've got to pay the federal income tax and any state tax on that
$20,000. Mm-hmm.
But then it can grow tax-free forever and ever. The only thing with the Roth IRAs now is that you can inherit it. You can't stretch it. You take the money out. Most of it's going to be, or all of it's rather, going to be all tax-free, so that's a good thing. Tax-free is like the goal.
Sure.
Zero is your hero in taxes, if it's at all possible. So we'd want to look at, does it make sense to convert to another government program called the Roth, get the monies in there and grow tax-free, and then take it out tax-free at some point in time. Makes sense. Sounds good. So long as the government, doesn't change the rules on the Roth, like they're doing on the IRA and the stretch. So again, one of the things that we look at here, Is there another way to convert this IRA? Well, one of the ways that you can convert it to a properly type of life insurance is life insurance. People can convert, just like they convert to a Roth, convert to a life insurance contract, and then ultimately, after you pay the tax, and it grows, and you start taking income, if you do it the right way, all the income is tax-free forever and ever.
Hmm.
And since it's life insurance, they'll have some sort of death benefit, and that's normally three or four times the amount that you put in. But if you should die along the way, your participants or beneficiaries receive that life insurance tax-free forever and ever. Tax-free forever and ever sounds really good if you can get it.
Sure does.
And so, you know, and life insurance, the reason that a lot of people don't like the thought of life insurance, of course, is the fact that, well, it's really not an investment, is it? I mean, you might mm-hmm. make 3 or 4%. Some have dividends, okay, but But it takes a while to grow because a lot of this life insurance with insurance companies is loaded with expenses in the early years. You know, but what would happen if you could convert to life insurance, just like a Roth, but instead of just having it sit there growing at these small little rates, what would happen if you could earn mid-teen numbers on your insurance programs, on your cash in the contract? What if you could earn more than that and have the opportunity? And it really becomes an investment. Now, most people never hear of this kind of solution. It's not for everybody.
Sure.
But it allows the insurance to grow tremendously under certain circumstances. And one of the things about insurance companies, when monies are paid to insurance companies, it goes into the general fund of the insurance company, and those monies are protected 100%. But life insurance is an alternative, and the reason that it's a decent alternative, at least to look at, is because it's not a government program. And Congress has never really messed much with life insurance because all those people in Washington own tremendous amounts of life insurance. Study after study shows that that's how they transfer their wealth, a lot of it.
Right.
And one of the most effective investments, for example, that banks can make, it's a priority, is cash value of life insurance. But there are different types. And so people have to know what's the best type to use and how to turn it into a true investment so that when you take money out, that money comes out effectively tax-free forever and ever. So you have Roth or you have life insurance, and like I said, it doesn't mean it's a perfect solution, but it is an alternative, and on many occasions we see where it's a very, very good alternative.
Sure. So Dave, you do so many classes and you meet with people and you go through things and they look at you like, in Texas, we would say a calf looking at a new gate. When they look at you like that saying, you know, we've been working with, you know, so-and-so company, and why are we not hearing what David C. Sean is telling us? And I just want to point out, there's a lot, when you talk about, you know, financial planning, I mean, there's a whole lot of ways that people look at that in there. I mean, there are people that just sell products, right? And I mean, that's just all they do. They're not interested in a plan. It's like what they sell.
Well, unfortunately, you know, that's why we've always been fiduciaries, and that's a fancy word for we've got to do what's in the best interest of the client. Now, I know that sounds cliche, maybe, and people say yes, but you really can do whatever you want, right? No, we got to do what's in your best interest, and that's the difference. There's a lot of good advisors out there and stockbrokers that can help grow people's assets. But in order to, that's just one of five areas of financial planning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the other thing that most can't do is distribution. How do you distribute this money in a way that's tax efficient, protected, stable, defensible, and it's in the financial foundation of my house? It's a true paycheck or playcheck that can't be destroyed, and so we have to look at all those five areas before we can really comment on any question they have about one of those areas. And again, education is a great equalizer. I have to know that client and be aware of his items and elements, and then be able to address them specifically, not broad generalizations, not what ifs,
sure,
but specifically.
Right.
That takes a little time.
Absolutely. Once again, David C. Shun is our guest each week. Their number is 720-482-1917. They're with the Householder Group. You can check out their website, cichonfinancialservices.com. That is C-I-C-H-O-N, financialservices.com. So, Dave, you know, let's talk about a second opinion a little bit, because, you know, there are a lot of people that feel like they have someone they've worked with, and most people have done that for years. And you know, and we've talked about before, a lot of times they may have worked with them, but they really don't have a clear understanding of what's going on. You know, so when you talk about a free second opinion, let's kind of break down what that looks like for someone.
Yeah, well, what it looks like is we ask that you bring in certain information to an initial meeting. It's called a confidential profile meeting. And we look at areas like estate planning. When you're finished with your assets, where are they going? So we'll ask you to maybe bring in a will or at least the information on your trust to initially look at it. And then we have you bring in your, if you have brokerage statements, where your assets are invested, we ask you to bring those in. We look at income tax. We ask you to bring in a current income tax return. We're not CPAs. We don't do income taxes ourselves. But we look at to see what's going on with income taxes and are you taking advantage of the rules and regulations that are out there. So we look at income tax and asset information and estate planning information. And we even ask you to bring in your declaration sheet, which is a sheet for homeowners and automobile that gives us the basics of what you have covered and for how much.
Right.
So we ask for bring in this information, and then we sit down, and for an hour and a half, I ask you a whole bunch of questions on the information that you brought. And a lot of the questions I ask have nothing to do with assets. They have to do with feelings, understanding, what you're trying to do, who you have to be protective of in your family, who do you have to be concerned about. A lot of feely, touchy kinds of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that hour and a half, we'll set up a second appointment because what I do is I take this information and never leaves my office, and I ingest it and develop a written report covering all five areas of financial planning. And, of course, that's estate planning, that's protection planning, that's income planning, income tax planning, and investments, those five areas. And I put it in writing what the person told me, and we review it. We review it to see if I'm on the same page as they are, that I get this information correct. Are these the areas that you're looking for help in? Can we help you in those particular areas or not? And really, do you want our help?
Sure.
And at the end of that meeting, we'll decide, should we move forward, how we'll move forward, and on what basis, and how we'll get compensated. So everything is laid out specifically and carefully, and once we do that first meeting, they can feel like they could ask us any questions about their estate, and we'll have some reasonable foundation for our answers.
Right. And as we've said many times in closing here, that, boy, to me, it's a no-brainer because you know what? You're either going to find out you're on a good road and you made a new friend with David C. Sean and his team there, or there may be just a couple of things that need some tweaking that's going to get you on a better road. And, hey, maybe some of the taxes David was just talking about. So, David, always good information, sir, and we sure appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to our visit next week, sir.
Thanks, Scott. Have a great week.
All right, you as well. That is David Cishan. They're with the Householder Group. CishanFinancialServices.com. Their number, 720-482-1917. We'll be right back.
Take AIM. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager All-in-One Loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable interest mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
AM 560 KLZ, your home station. Welcome to Your Health Matters, sponsored by Integrated Health Systems. Traditional medicine has left you frustrated. You've seen doctor after doctor searching for answers, only to feel more confused than ever. Chiropractic neurologist Dr. Shane Stedman, along with his team at Integrated Health Systems, does the detective work you need to identify causes, not just treat your symptoms. Using a team approach to combine functional medicine with neurology, Integrated Health Systems spends the necessary time with each client to find out what's really going on. Thanks to Dr. Stedman and his team, many clients who struggle with debilitating health issues have finally found relief. Now, Haystack Help Radio proudly presents Your Health Matters.
And we'd like to welcome you to Your Health Matters. Again, my name is Scott Watley, and we are glad you are with us. Our show is brought to you by Dr. Shane Stedman and his team, Integrated Health Systems, as mentioned, and their number, 303-781-5617. And each week, we have a different member of the team. And today, we are fortunate to have Lindsay Williams, a nutritionist there with Integrated Health Systems. So, Lindsay, how are you?
Good, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much, and thank you for being with us today. Well, we're going to talk about something that is depressing for most of us, and that is weight and losing weight. Lindsay, why is this I think it's the hardest thing in our whole realm of health, is for those that need to lose weight, just struggle with that fact of a diet.
Yeah, I think you're right. Weight has so many connotations around it, and for most of us, they're negative.
Yeah.
Weight is one of those things that we like to think of it as nice and simple, and you expend more than you take in, then you're going to lose weight. Mm-hmm. But it's not always that simple. Hormones play a role, neurotransmitters, your brain health, how you sleep, how active you are or not active, and most importantly, what kinds of foods are you eating? People say, oh, I eat a healthy diet, but then when you start talking to them, it's really not that healthy, whether we have just taken to eating things that are so convenient, we think that's healthy, or, you know, family traditions are tied into how you eat and what you eat and what your food choices are, because that's what you were taught and grown up with. So somewhere along the line, we lost the understanding of what nutrition is and what foods are and how they impact us and what truly is healthy. I hate talking about weight, but it is such a big portion of our health. It affects every single area.
Sure. And I mean, it's got to, I'll just use a good Texas word, it's got to be a bazillion dollar industry, you know, just weight loss. And
for sure.
And we all want that, you know, a magic pill that we can eat anything we want. And I love whenever you hear an ad says, you know, no exercise, you know, eat what you want, lose weight.
You know,
red flags everywhere. I mean, is the mistake that we make probably first of all is if we just say to you, hey, what's a good diet for me? Is that our first mistake, is just even calling it a diet instead of what do I got to do to change my life?
Yeah, absolutely. It becomes a mindset. How do you think about food? How emotionally, how attached are you to food? Think about it. Everything in our society, it revolves around food. You get together with your family, what do? You eat. You get together for birthday parties, you eat. You get together for funerals, you eat. You get together for graduation. It's all about food. Mm-hmm. So everything in our society is revolving around that. So it is, it's a mindset. How do I think about food? How does it affect me? Why am I eating what I'm eating? One of the things I love to ask my patients or my clients is, why you're telling me you're hungry. I want you to seriously think about why you're hungry. Are you bored? Are you lonely? Are you tired? Like, just simple things, identifying why you think you need that food can have a huge shift in your relationship with food. So yeah, diet, the word diet is a very, very poor word. It needs to be about your lifestyle. A diet is temporary. A lifestyle is making a shift. And like you said, we all want that quick fix.
Yeah.
And it's just not out there. There are temporary things, but they're just that. They're temporary.
Sure. And, you know, you look at the last year and a half of all of our lives where we were just shut in so much. I mean, good night.
Yeah.
I did more walking during that time than I've ever done in my life, but it was from the sofa to the refrigerator. You know, I mean, it would seem like every hour and a half you get up to go eat something. And like you say, you're not hungry. You're bored and
you're
didn't
bored.
Know what else to do. And
You're bored and you're stressed. And yeah. So, and you start to feel a little bit sluggish. So you think, oh, I need to eat something so that I don't feel sluggish.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not always the case, because normally we don't reach for something that actually gives us energy. We just reach for something that's full of sugar.
Sure.
That gives us a temporary fix.
You must have a camera in my house. Yeah. So again, Lindsay Williams is with us. Integrated Health Systems is the company. So I mean, I'm sure most of us, I mean, every January, it's usually in the top one or two spot of either mm-hmm. working out or losing weight. And, you
Absolutely.
Know, most people say by Super Bowl Sunday, which is usually by the first or second Sunday in February, the gyms
yep.
or the gym memberships have waned and everybody's given up.
Yeah. Yeah. Because life starts to happen again and they get sidetracked and their goals either weren't really clear and defined to begin with past I need to lose weight or it's a lot of work. You have to be willing to put in work to change, and life happens, or you just aren't as committed as you thought you were.
Are you in the when I say the camp, because I just mean there's so many different thoughts on this, are you in one, like when you say, hey, you know, you get with me, you start a program, you should weigh every day?
No, I'm not. I'm kind of in the odd camp of I don't even like counting calories. There are...
Cool.
It's very limited to my patients that I say, let's do that.
Right.
Because you can make so many gains just by cleaning up your diet and doing a little bit of physical activity. Those huge gains can be made with just small tweaks, that it is a small portion of people that I will say that have to actually track their food. We may do it, but it's for a short period of time. And sometimes it's just eye-opening for the patient to go, oh, I didn't realize I was doing that. Again, back to that, oh, I eat healthy, but then when they write it down and they follow it, they go, oh. Or most of my patients don't eat enough. We think we're eating all day long, but we're really not, and you're never even getting enough calories to support your basic life functions. So that will impact your weight goals, just because if you're never making enough, never consuming enough energy, how do you expect to be able to lose weight?
Sure. So when people sit down with you, and we'll kind of go through your consultation process here in a minute, but when people sit down with you mm-hmm. and, you know, they just say, okay, what is the healthiest diet out there? I mean, how do you figure that out? I mean, I guess it's just so individualized, but I mean, how do you start that?
It is, and I almost look at it as like a step three or four, kind of after I sit down and talk to them and discuss what are their goals, where are they currently at, where do they think they want to get to. We've kind of had this conversation before where somebody who comes in that's excessively overweight, I'm talking 500 pounds, saying they want to be 120 in 6 months is not going to happen. So sometimes it's just starting with the basics. What are macronutrients? What are micronutrients? Macronutrients are your proteins, fats, carbs. How do those work? What's the purpose of them? Why do I need vitamins and minerals, my micronutrients? Where do I find them and what foods? And it's just adapting that to begin with, because, again, most of us somehow lost this information along the way. And so it's being reminded of what is nutritious food. And then there are all these, there's hundreds of specialty diets mm-hmm. out there, and they all have a purpose. So intermittent fasting is fantastic. And the more and more research that comes out, it kind of blows my mind how amazing it is. But intermittent fasting can be so varied even within that. They're finding that women that do intermittent fasting do better eating most of their calories in the morning versus later in the day. But even between two women, I can have some that do better eating them later in the day and some that do better eating them in the morning or in a smaller window or a bigger window. So even within the specialty diet, there's specialties, and it becomes very individualized. I think sticking with the basics of plant-based, whole foods, cutting out the sugar, cutting out the processed foods, all have a huger impact than picking a specialty diet. I will say the pro to a specialty diet is it gives you guidelines.
Right.
If people like, I need to follow ABC, this is how I do it, then that's very, very helpful for them. But again, some of those diets are very restrictive, and so people tend to fail eventually because it's too restrictive. They get bored. It's hard to maintain when you're running around and didn't pack food
sure.
or plan it out, or you're traveling. So, I mean, 95% of diets fail
right.
within the first 1 year. So it really has to become about a mindset and changing your lifestyle and finding what works for you.
You know, we all look for the excuses and stuff, so they say, well, it's just in my genetics. You know, it's just in our family the
yes.
way we are.
Yes.
Is that just a very small percentage?
Yeah, it really is. Your genetics, it's your groundwork, it's your roadmap, but all of those genes aren't always turned on or expressed, as we like to say. And your lifestyle choices do more to impact your DNA than your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about that, people go, oh, it's my genetics. And you look at a family line and everybody's heavy. Well, guess what they also pass down? Biscuits and gravy recipes, fried chicken. Like, that's how the family ate
sure.
for generations. And they weren't taught anything different. So, yeah, it's your genetics, but it's a lot of what you were taught.
Right. And, too, and you look back, and we mentioned earlier just the stress, what we've all been through over the last, you know, number of months, and with the COVID thing and jobs and family, missing vacations, all of that. You know, our sleep probably for everybody is not what it should be. And when you combine, you know, a bad diet, no sleep, and not much exercise, it's no wonder
mm-hmm.
we're just like that hamster on a wheel. We're going
yeah.
100 miles an hour, but we're not making any progress.
Yeah, so there's some really interesting research out on sleep, probably partly why all these sleep clinics have popped up around the country, of how important sleep is. I mean, we do 99% of our healing in our sleep, which is kind of amazing. But when your sleep is jacked up, which doesn't take much. Let's say you're a new parent and you're getting up every 2 hours to feed a newborn, or you have a sick pet that you're getting up every 2 hours with. It doesn't have to be certain phases of life. It can be any stage, or all the stress we've been under. You're not sleeping because you're stressed out. Sleep-deprived individuals tend to choose foods that are high in calories and high in carbohydrates because they're quick, they're convenient, and they give you that instant, for whatever reason in our brain, we think, oh, I'm tired, I'm sluggish, let me eat something that'll give me energy. And again, what are you reaching for? It may not actually be benefiting you. The other interesting thing with sleep and weight is that sleeping less than 8 hours a night, they found, increases all of your pro-inflammatory cytokines. And you go, what the heck is that? That's all your markers that increase inflammation in your body. And so if the inflammation's increased, your weight goes up. Have you ever heard people that say, oh, yeah, I put 5 pounds on in a night. I don't know what I did. I skipped the gym today. I put on 5 pounds. It probably had more to do with inflammation in their body based off of foods they ate or sleep deprivation. And the longer you go without sleep, the more those levels increase, which increases your weight and then starts a vicious cycle, because weight will actually disrupt your sleep. So it can get you caught in this cycle.
Wow. Very interesting. All right, let's go through kind of what a con. Somebody comes in, you know, and they want to focus on weight loss. Let's kind of talk about, you know, what that consultation looks like, how long it takes, and what information do you need from the client?
Yeah, for a consultation, they're always free. You get 30 minutes with me, and we kind of discuss your goals, where you're at, maybe what you've already tried. And from there, we can determine, okay, where do we need to start? Are you lacking all nutritional information, or have you tried 17 different nutrition programs? You're well-versed. You understand that portion. And maybe we need to dig a little bit deeper to determine, maybe it's not a calorie issue. Maybe it's not a calories in, calories out. How physical are you? How much are you eating? Versus maybe it's something a little bit deeper. Is it a sleep apnea type situation? Is it hormone related, which for women can be very huge, but it impacts men too? Is it food sensitivities or intolerances that are causing inflammation, which is keeping your weight up, which you then restrict what you're eating because you don't feel good and your weight goes up anyways? So again, where's the cycle occurring? We can kind of walk through that process when I learn about you and figure out where you've been, what your journeys look like, and where you're trying to get to.
Right. Once again, Lindsay Williams is with us. Integrated Health Systems is a company. Their number, 303-781-5617. As she just mentioned, hey, it is a free initial consultation. And you know, Lindsay, I have to, and I don't know the percentages on this, but I would assume they are much greater if you have someone, so to speak, helping you, coaching you, and helping you be accountable. I got to think the percentages increase quite a bit.
You are absolutely correct. Accountability, and that's why all these diet programs and weight loss programs are so large, is people need that accountability. Sometimes it's a course correction, but some people need a tougher coach that's like, stop that, do this, don't do that. And other people just need a little bit of guidance. But when you have that team approach, that partner, that mentor, whatever you want to call it, you have greater success, whether it's in nutrition, physical activity, business. A coach or a mentor makes all the difference in the world.
Right. So do people, and earlier you said, you know, you don't even get into counting calories too much just in the way that you do it. But, I mean, so if someone is, you know, do they need to start tracking, first of all, like even what they eat during the day for calories? And then you got to figure out how much you got to cut those calories back to start even losing a pound or two a week?
Yeah, especially for people that are kind of have been on the weight loss journey and just aren't making progress. Bringing that information from the start is so beneficial because it allows us to kind of almost skip forward a whole week because you've already tracked what you're eating. I can figure out the numbers portion of it, but just tracking it and sometimes just visually seeing, oh, I'm skipping meals or I'm eating everything at 9 o'clock at night versus earlier in the day. Sometimes those visual cues can be very, very beneficial. But yes, bringing I like to call it a 3-day food journal right off the bat is so helpful in kind of assessing, oh, here's a hole we can work on. Here's what we can tweak. And it may be that simple.
Right. So do you, you always hear people, you know, snacking late at night and all that kind of thing. Is there any studies out there or what you see? Let's take this intermittent fasting. So if someone can do like 11 to 8 or whatever and not eat anything after 8, is there a time that you should say, you know, you really shouldn't eat a couple hours before you go to bed? So if you go to bed at midnight, don't eat anything past 10. If you go to bed at 10, don't eat anything past 8. Or is that just hearsay?
No, you're right on track. And that's kind of where the intermittent fasting even becomes so specialized is some people benefit not eating after 4 o'clock in the afternoon, but they started at 6 a.m. There are other people that their window is kind of later in the day. The general rule, not discussing intermittent fasting or time restricted, is you want to stop eating before the sun goes down. But in the summertime, that's kind of a little wishy-washy because it's so late. But basically, if you go to bed at 10 o'clock, you want to stop 2 to 3 hours before you go to bed. And you want to make sure that you've had protein so that that's going to stabilize your blood sugar through the night so that you don't get spikes and crashes. A lot of people will say that they wake up to anywhere between 2 and 4 a.m. because they're hungry. And they go, well, I stopped eating at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, you just didn't have the right combination, if you will, to keep yourself satisfied.
And, you know, I think labels and all the food, you go to the health aisle, so to speak, in the grocery stores, just because they're on that aisle doesn't mean necessarily that may be the healthiest choice for you, right?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you said that and brought that up because it's so true. People that are health nuts get into this gluten-free, it's got to be sugar-free, it's got to be. And then you look at the processed box of stuff that they're eating, and it's not so healthy. Labels are that. They're labels, and there's a lot of marketing that goes behind those labels. There's a lot of things that the food industry has learned. Hey, if we want to term low fat, that means I only have to cut a third of the fat out. That's not low fat. That's just a third less than the regular box. So there are a lot of marketing tools that play into the health food aisle, and understanding those can be pretty complicated too.
I know. And that's what's because most of us don't even know what the words mean. And, you know, and
yes,
you know, and so, I mean, you almost have to agree in health, you know, nutrition, just to understand what some of the things that are in the ingredients, right?
Right, exactly. And my mom, I've had this discussion with her. She's like, it gets so complicated that I just give up. Stick to the basics, stick to whole foods, plant-based foods. Organic is another one that you can kind of lean on as safe and actually nutritious. That just means there's no extra antibiotics, no extra toxins that are put into the food. And if you stay away from the processed things, you don't have to think so hard about what does this label actually mean. Those can be nice treats. Those can be the occasional. But when you're sticking and you're getting so wrapped up and overwhelmed in all the labeling, go back to the basics, plant-based, whole foods.
And, you know, I think, too, and we'll have to touch on this next time, but, you know, I'm seeing more things about gluten and gluten-free and people with, you know, Hashimoto's, all that kind of thing. That's really growing, too, isn't it?
It is. It is. And it's rapidly changed in the last 10 years, and that's great for people that are gluten-free. But even within that world, that's like you said, it's a whole nother monster. I will say this, gluten is not evil for everyone. There are a lot of people that have become very sensitive to it, and there's multiple theories behind that. Is it really the chemicals and pesticides used to grow the wheat? Is it how we're processing it, or are we just all becoming that sensitive? So there's a wide variation in that. But we also know that gluten and dairy cause inflammation in the body because of molecular mimicry and how it affects our body and how our body reads it, it does create inflammation. So the reason it has become so popular is because we have all patients with autoimmune disorders, and autoimmune disorders are very generic, inflammation-driven. And so if we're trying to cut inflammation, we want to cut foods that we know cause inflammation. So that's one of the reasons it's become such a popular hot topic.
Right. Last minute and a half here, but when people talk about, you know, maybe fasting, and we talked about intermittent fasting, but if people say, hey, should I do a fast for a while just to kind of let my body reset? I mean, is fasting considered, no water, no food for a certain amount of days, or you always say drink water, and if you're, you know, you can skip some meals for a couple of days. What is a safe, and I want to say, we're not saying this for everybody, okay? We're just some
Correct.
General guidelines, okay? What generally would be a safe fasting time if someone just said, hey, I want to drink some fluids for a couple of days and, you know, let my body reset here?
It's funny, even within fasting, there's all sorts of variations. You can do it for 24 hours, you can do it for 12 hours, you can do it for a week. There are extremes that you can do weeks long. I will say that anybody that wants to try and do a fast should get it cleared through their doctor first. They can be dangerous. Blood sugar is very, very important. So in general, there's a reset would be a three-day water fast where all you have is water. Now, there are people like diabetics do not recommend that for. There are other things, like if people are extremely, we call them fragile, and going without food gives them a headache, gives them anxiety, things like that, because they're just so fragile at the moment. There's a thing called a lemonade fast, which has lemon juice and maple syrup and some cayenne pepper that is another way to stabilize that blood sugar. You still get the fasting benefits. Fasting has some amazing health benefits, decreases inflammation, kind of allows the body to rest, helps reset. But yeah, it's extremely important that you have a medical professional doing a fast or following you while you do the fast so that we don't crash you in any way.
All right. Well, you got the maple syrup, but you left out the waffle. Not lemonade, waffle, and maple syrup. Okay. Hey, Lindsay, we appreciate it. Always fun. Hey, get in and see Lindsay. It's a free consultation, 303-781-5617. It is Integrated Health System. So, Lindsay, thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Scott. Have a great day.
All right, you as well. Get by and see them, folks. They're at 3601 South Clarkson Street in Englewood. Once again, that office, 303-781-5617. Hope you have a great week and a great rest of your day. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Call Integrated Health Systems now for a free consultation, 303-781-5617. That's 303-781-5617. To book your consultation online, visit integratedhealthdenver.com. Thank you for listening to Your Health Matters. Be sure to join Dr. Shane Stedman live every Monday at 12:30 p.m. on KLZ 560.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.